Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Psalm chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4. And as you know, this is the visit part 2. If you have the book of Psalms, would you please stand in chapter 8? We'll read verse 1 and 4 before going to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Whenever we try to proclaim evolution, we take away the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is the creator of the universe, and we know that the psalmist tells us that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. But then in verse 4, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? And then if you have in your Bible already your finger to Galatians chapter 4, we'll read verses 4 and 5. Paul declaring this Christmas message in two verses, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for what you provide for us at this season. And though, Lord, we know that there's very little chance that Christ was born in December, we are glad that we can at least celebrate his birth. And Lord, we pray that each has received that gift that you were willing to give of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father gave God the Son to come and to die for you and for me. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. My wife and I have been married for over 44 years. I know she only looks 26, but she has held her beauty nicely. Would you not agree? Wait a minute. Would you not agree? Yeah, thank you very much. And I have a special gift for her this year, and I can't wait to give it. You know how it is when you give a gift and you just keep thinking, oh, I want to give it now. How many of you want to do that? You want to give it early. Now, my wife, being the practical woman that she is, said, you know, we need a hand-cranked can opener. She gave me a coupon to go to Yeah, you know where it is. She must hate me. 7 million people. This woman in the line, she argues about every price that came up on the machine. You've been there? Maybe you're the one. I don't know. But that's not the special gift I'm going to give her. You're glad that's not the special gift? Yeah. But you know, the fact of the matter is this, there is an unspeakable gift. And that's the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We mentioned last week in part one that the word visit is both a verb and a noun. As a verb, it means to go see, to comfort, to pay a call, to reside with for a short time. As a noun, it's just simply a short stay. Last week we talked about three visitors, messengers from God, who prepared the way for the great visitor, Jesus Christ our Lord. First, we saw that an angel visited Zacharias with the message that his wife Elizabeth, who had been known as barren because she had no children, would have a child who would become a mighty man of God, who had a divine purpose. And as it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, we need to be prepared to meet our Lord. The Bible tells us that every knee will bow and everyone will proclaim that he is Lord, and you need to be prepared. Second, we read of the angel Gabriel with the message to Mary that she would indeed bear a son that she would call Jesus. And she asked the question how this was possible since she had never known a man. And as Dr. Fleming quite nicely put it, the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would conceive. And as we said last week, Mary was not divine. She is not the Queen of Heaven. She was not sinless. Mary was simply a usable servant of the Lord Most High. And she simply said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." It would do us well to do what the Lord would have us do. And then the third visitor was sent to Joseph while he was wondering what to do about his pregnant fiancée. The Bible tells us that he was pondering how he could put her away privily or privately so that no one would know of her shame. When the angel came and said, "Don't be afraid to take her unto yourself, because that which she has is of the Holy Ghost." But now, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 2. The visit of visits. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Words that you probably have heard read on many occasions. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Maybe you just paid your winter taxes. Every time you buy something, there's a tax. Isn't that amazing? Taxing has been on for many centuries. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. May I throw in here that both Joseph and Mary came through the line of David. They came through different sons of David, but they both had royalty in their blood. And it says in verse 5, "to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." They would travel many miles. I have read 90 miles they traveled, not in a car. I would imagine, Brian, you're glad that you didn't have to come over today by donkey. You would have had to start a few days ago. They walked, or maybe she was on a donkey. Can you imagine ladies being 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey? Amazing. She was great with child. We've all seen women that we were afraid they might have the child right now, because they are great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. May I say, this is not God the Son's first visit to earth. In the Old Testament, we find a number of what are called Christophanies, or times when our Lord interacted with mankind. He was the priest Melchizedek that received tithes from Abraham. He appeared to Joshua on the eve of the battle. We find he was the fourth man in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just to name three, but there are many others. But now we see him appear as the baby that would be found sleeping in a manger. Was it necessary for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem to become the Savior of the world? No, it was not. It was not necessary because he came to save, but if he was going to become the king, he had to be born in Bethlehem. He had to go to Bethlehem to be that one who showed that he was of royal blood. And we know that he would fulfill prophecy found in Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. From everlasting, he is God. Jesus was not a man only, he was the God-man. And he came for a purpose. His purpose is not so that you can receive some special gift. I was listening yesterday to the radio, and they came on, and it said that what better gift could you receive than a Mercedes-Benz from Novi? Have you heard the commercial? I'm thinking to myself, I can't imagine my wife buying me something like a Mercedes. That's because I'd really rather have a BMW 3 Series. But the fact of the matter is, we can give great gifts, and that's nice. But Christ didn't come so that we would give gifts. Christ came to die. That was the purpose of his coming, to die for you and to me. And so to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, a taxation took place. They thought it was about the taxes, but no, it was about getting Jesus, or shall we say Joseph and Mary, to Bethlehem so that Jesus could be born there. Many sermons have been proclaimed over the thought, no room. And we mentioned last week that Mary might not have been a welcome guest to family members there due to her pregnancy, which took place outside of wedlock. By now, most of you know that I don't believe that Jesus was born in a cave. I don't believe he was born in a cattle shed. But where the ceremonial lambs were born that were used in the temple sacrifices, found there at the Tower of the Flock, or Migdal Edar. And so that when the shepherds were told that they would find him in a manger, they knew where to go. Because they may have been the shepherds that took care of those ceremonial sheep. We begin now in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I was reading, and they said, well, Why isn't there peace? Well, to be peace, you have to do what the Lord wants. If you think the United Nations is going to bring us peace in the world, you're wrong. If you think that a great economy where everyone is working that wants to work and all your financial dealings are earning you money, that's going to bring peace to the world, you're wrong. Peace only comes through our Lord. But the angel of the Lord came. We hear of him every year. Almost to the point that we could all get up here and tell this story and we could all explain it. But the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that there is peace in the Lord? Fear not. I bring good tidings of great joy. A number of years ago, I was nearing graduation from college. Do you remember those days when you're thinking, I'm going to die before I graduate? You know, I've been in school since I was in kindergarten. You know, that's a lot of years, isn't it? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to die. I'm not going to have that joy of walking across the platform and receiving my degree. Well, the day came in which I walked across. Many of you have done the same thing. And it brought joy to my heart. It was done. It was done. And maybe there's been something in your life that has brought you great joy. Maybe the birth of your children. Maybe getting that job that you had desired. Maybe the Red Wings winning the Stanley Cup. I don't think it's going to happen this year. The Tigers winning the World Series. The Pistons winning the NBA championship. We won't go to that fourth team because been a long time since they've won anything of any importance. But joy. What would bring you joy? What can bring us joy is knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that? Are you a sinner? Every one of us, right? Except me. I mean, I'm a Baptist preacher. That's my granddaughter. I'm not a sinner. I am a sinner. I didn't pay you to say that, did I? No. Very good. Thank you, EJ. She's agreeing with her sister. All of us are sinners, right? Every one of us. We've come short of the glory of God. Can you save yourself? Are you sure? There are some that teach you can. There are some that say that if you work hard enough and long enough, God has to let you in. Is that true? No. There's only one way into heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Christ. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many good works you've done, or how much money you've given to church. I don't care what you've done. You haven't the ability to work your way to heaven, no matter who you are. And so if we're going to accept the gift, we must realize, number one, we're a sinner and we can do nothing to save ourselves. But aren't you glad we have a loving God? Now, most people like the loving part, but do you realize that God is a holy God, that he hates sin? He hates it. He hates sin, but he will provide a way of salvation for sinners. He'll provide a way. So in our world today, why doesn't everybody believe the Christmas story? Well, see, there is the enemy. And the enemy says, well, I will bring all kinds of religions into society. I will bring in all kinds of counterfeit teaching. I will blind the minds of people with education and wealth and good looks and entertainment. I will make people think there are multiple ways into heaven. Read this in the free paper that comes to our house. Maybe you saw it. Winter solstice celebration at the Universalist Unitarian Church of Farmington. It says they will host a peaceful prism winter solstice. And it was celebrated at 7:15 this past Friday. There will be soloists, stories, meditation, rituals, dances, and vigils, which will set the stage for the longest night of the year. And the event will celebrate the change of the seasons on the official first day of winter. I thought this was interesting. Guests 4 to 99. Okay, so if you're between the ages of 4 and 99, you were to wear silver, blue, or black. One of the reasons Christmas is at this time of year is to compete with the winter solstice teachings. We find that Satan has blinded our eyes with humanism, with the idea that, well, we are so much smarter now than we were 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago. No, we're not. Oh, technology is farther along. But we still need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He says, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For born this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then we find suddenly there was a multitude. I wonder if they were volunteers. I wonder if God the Father said, who wants to go down and share these thoughts to these humans? I don't know. But they came praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In conclusion, let's read verses 16 through 18. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They made known the saying. Some people don't like Christians because they have a story to tell. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be bothered. But the most important decision you'll make in your entire life is what to do with Jesus Christ. Yesterday, as I was driving at the intersection at Garfield and Clinton River Road, I had come to the light there, and of course I was stopped by the red light. I think my car makes all lights turn red. I was the third car back from the intersection, and I wasn't really paying attention to what was going on, happening on the road, when suddenly I heard screeching brakes and that awful sound of two cars hitting. And we know that today's cars are made to explode virtually as it takes the energy away from the accident. I immediately called 911 and explained what had happened, and the woman asked on the other end of the line, have the airbags been deployed? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she asked me, what type of cars were they? And I said, well, one's a Pontiac. And I said, I don't know what the other one is. It's all over the road. Now, isn't that a terrible way to be celebrating the Christmas season? Terrible. The police were called, the ambulances were summoned. And we think to ourselves, how sad. We think, how can there be peace? We think of the news that Rudy and Kay bring about their mother and the surgery, and we say, how can there be peace? Can there be peace during times of trouble? There can be. But only if you know the Lord is your Savior. Had a funeral director one time told me, he says, I can always tell the difference between the funeral of a believer and the funeral of an unbeliever. In their attitudes, in the alcohol being consumed. He says, I would much rather do the funeral of a believer because there is peace. The peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child that would bring the joy that one can have in knowing Jesus Christ the Savior. So I ask this as we finish. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you accepted his unspeakable gift? And are you prepared to meet your Lord? Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation. If you'd like to come and pray at the altar, you can do so as we sing. If you'd like someone to pray with you, please let it be known. We'd be glad to have someone pray with you. Number 17, have thine own way, Lord. Mary was willing to allow the Lord to have his way in her life. Joseph was willing to allow the Lord to have his way in his life, as was John the Baptist. And even our Savior was willing to do the will of God the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, now as we pray, asking blessings on this invitation time, we ask that the Word of God will stir people's hearts and that the Spirit would now convict. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.